Well, good evening, listeners. Well, good evening, listeners. Here it is once more and again Wednesday night. God has allowed us to come together to fellowship in the Word of God. And I'm so grateful and so honored that God has allowed this platform to go forth. You know, there's a lot of people, as my grandson said last week, that's not able to come out to church for whatever reason, that, you know, is home and bedridden. And I pray that he would allow them to find the broadcast and be able to fellowship with us on Wednesday and hear the Word of God. First of all, I would like to thank God, my Redeemer, my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my all in all. God is the giver of life. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And I thank the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for what they are doing in and out of our lives. I would like to thank all of the listeners who have tuned in and decided to fellowship with us here on Wednesday night. I'm going to play a song, and after the song, we're going to get in the Word of God. And I pray that you guys at the end of the broadcast would press the one button so that you could have a word to say that can enrich the lives of someone else. You don't know that your words could be words of encouragement. You know, some things God have for some people, he has given it to you. And you're the one that can give it to them. So I encourage feedback. I encourage comments, because not one person know everything. And I thank you. And I'm going to play this record, and we'll be back to get in the lesson. For those who are going to get their Bibles, tonight's lesson is stop speaking to God about how big your problems are, but speak to them problems and let them know how big your God is. And we are coming out of the book of Mark. And we're going to be in the 11th chapter in the 23rd verse. The book of Mark, 11th chapter and 23rd verse. Get your Bibles, get your pen, and get ready to receive what God has for you on tonight. Thank you. Yourself in the Lord. And that record was Encouraging Yourself. We have a new sound studio for the records that's being played. So I don't know how the record came across. But if it didn't come in a good quality or you could hear it real good, we're trying to get the kinks out for the music. So I would appreciate at the end of the broadcast that you would press 1 and let me know. I see that we have some callers on the line tonight. And I really appreciate each and every one of you, because you've been with me, and it's so delightful when the board light up, I see, you know, familiar numbers, which I can associate with familiar people. But I also thank everybody on the internet that is listening via internet. I am really thankful and honored. So I want you to know that, and I appreciate each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedules to call in on Wednesday. I like to just acknowledge that I see Ms. Joyce Brown. She's calling from Slidell. I'm sorry, from La Place, Louisiana. Thank you. I also see some other numbers that I know I see Ms. Dorothy Ward, my stepmother, is calling in from New Orleans, Louisiana. I have an auntie that's on the line right now from Houma, Louisiana. And those are numbers that I know. But I thank each and every one of you. And we're going to go ahead and get into the lesson tonight. Again, I say the name. The title of the lesson is Stop Speaking to God About How Big Your Problems Are, But Speak to the Problem About How Big God Is. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, dear Lord God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your mercy and your grace and your loving kindness, and thank you that you're so faithful. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity, and I thank you for each and every person that is called in or either listening on the internet. Heavenly Father, I'm asking for a special blessing upon each and every one of them. Heavenly Father, if they're your child, they already have favor with God, but I'm asking that you allow favor of men to fall fresh on them. Heavenly Father, we enter your courts with thanksgiving and to your gates with praise. There's no other name besides the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, we open up our hearts, our mind, and our souls to you, that you will give us illumination and revelation from the word that's going to go forth. Holy Ghost, we just giving you the honor, the praise, and the glory, and we welcome you in this Bible study on the night. Have your way, Holy Ghost. And I just pray that each and every person that called in, if you have any problem, like the lesson says, situation, speak to it. And God, please allow them deliverance and rescue them out of the snares of anything that is going on in their life that's not of you. Protect them, dear God. Hold them, dear God. Bless them, dear God, in the blessings that they need of financial, health, maybe employment, dear God. Open the doors. Heavenly Father, it may be relationship. Heal the broken relationships, dear God. It could be your children, dear God. You say you never seen the righteous forsaken or they cease begging for bread. We have to believe you, dear God, and trust you because your word is true and it won't return void. Teach us, dear God, how to come to the throne of grace that we could receive the blessings that's in store for us. And, Lord, we're going to be so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for what you have done, for what you're doing, and what you're going to do in and through our lives. And all of these blessings and others, I ask in your darling son, Jesus' name, because they say we can't get to the Father unless we go through the Son. And right now I say thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Well, we're going to go ahead and start on the lesson. For those who have your Bibles, we are in Mark, the 11th chapter, and the 23rd verse. Mark, the 11th chapter, and the 23rd verse. And the lesson, the topic for tonight is, for those who just call in, stop speaking to God about how big your problems are, but speak to the problem about how big God is. As always, we're in the book of Matthews. So I want to give you just a little tidbit about Mark. Give you a little bit about Mark, and we'll go straight to the lesson. The gospel, according to Mark, was written by Mark. Mark's writings was directed to a Gentile audience. Mark set out to prove beyond a doubt that Jesus is the Messiah. He presents a rapid succession of vivid pictures of Jesus in action. Mark's writing reveals what Jesus did, not necessarily what he said. So I guess when you go in the book of Mark, you're going to see a lot of miracles and healings and everything going forth, because, you know, this tells us that Mark writing reveals what Jesus did, not necessarily what he says. You see, and then Mark writing describes Jesus on the move. So if you want to get a glimpse at Jesus going and moving and working his ministry, Mark is a good book to read. You know, Mark takes us directly into Jesus' public ministry. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, the book, was probably the first gospel written. And I want you to know that Mark was not one of the 12 disciples, but God saw fit and inspired him to write the gospel of Mark. So if God inspired him, we believe him. We believe what is written by Mark. And if we look at Mark, the 11th chapter and the 23rd verse, it says, "For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he asks." Now, I've heard this scripture many times over my life, and I used to always think about a mountain and how big it is, and even sometimes why they say speak to the mountain. But you know, as you grow in Christ and you learn and you mature in the Word of God, you begin to understand. You see, when we look at this verse and see it's talking about moving mountains, however, Jesus was using the word mountain symbolically to refer to obstacles, problems, trials, tribulations, a situation that may stand in your way. See, that's what he's talking about. Speak to those things. Scriptures give us insight as to how to remove mountains. So if we look at this scripture, and the first thing we note that he said three times. Three times in this scripture. Whosoever shall say one time and shall not doubt in his heart and shall believe those things that he said, it shall come to pass, whatever he said. So the word said is said in that three times. So I think the first thing we need to look at is that we should speak to it. And having it listed three times in the scripture, we can believe it. We must stop speaking to God about how big our problems are and start speaking to the problem about how big God is. The word said, as I said, is said three times in this verse. This lets us know that there is power in our speaking, and every word you speak counts for something. You got to watch you got to watch your language. You got to watch your speech. You know, some people allow anything to come out of their mouth. You know, the Bible teaches us that the tongue cannot be tamed. You know, and God said he knows everything come out of your mouth. And he don't take too much stock in that because he say, "I looks at the heart." See, God super, you know, skips over what come out of the mouth and he looks at the heart. Because a mouth can say anything. The same mouth can curse, and then the same mouth blesses. It's so amazing the things that a mouth can do. And here the scripture is letting us know that there's power in your speech. You know, the things that you say. You know, the Bible says that there is life and death in the power of the tongue. Also, there's good and there's evil and there's cursing and there's blessing. The same mouth and the things we speak. We have to be of good conversation. You know, sometimes you be around people on the street and they say anything and everything. And it's so strange in my neighborhood when I go to the corner store, they have young men out there with their children, maybe bringing them to the store or whatever, and they cursing back and forth with one another, very disrespectful and saying things that shouldn't be said in the first place, let alone say it loudly in a public place. But when they look up and they see me, they say, "I'm so sorry, Miss Diane." You know, and then I want to tell the other one, "You better respect Miss Diane, man. Don't say that." And I stop and I tell him, I say, "Young man, listen to this. You're saying respect me and you got your little daughter right there. You never thought to respect your daughter?" You see, we have to watch our conversation, but God tells us that we have power in our speech. You know, Proverbs 18 and 21 says that debt lies in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You see, whatever you speak, that's what comes out. There's no such thing as idle words that will not work for you or against you. So you have to watch what you say. It don't, you know, there's no such thing as idle words. There's no such thing as what I say that doesn't matter. You know, a lot of times in relationships, you know, ships have been, you know, wars have started from speaking, and families has been broke up from just speaking words and saying things. There's no such thing as an idle word, and once you speak it and it goes forth, you can't take that back. So we should learn how to speak things that are lovely and appear. Speak things that are of a good report. You see, our words can be our most powerful weapon against the devil, or they can become a snare of the devil. How many times we have said, "I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus." When you said it, did you really believe it? And did you think that it worked? Or is just mere words you're saying that you say it, you keep moving, you never think about it, you don't meditate it, you don't even ask God to buy into what you have said and ask him to work on your behalf on what you said. We have to stop just saying things as it is in the wind. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, and move on. Say it with power and authority. Say it as if you believe it and have faith that it will work. You see, we have people speaking all the time that the devil is a liar. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the devil is a liar? And if you do believe that, when thoughts that don't line up with the word of God come in your mind, do you act upon them? Or do you recognize that it is a trick of the enemy and Satan is trying to put a lie in your thoughts? What do you believe? You know, they always say, you know, we speak the words, but do we do the words? Do we know the words? Do we show the words? There's no such thing as an idle word. The word speaks mean to articulate sound with an ordinary voice. When we speak to our mountain asking for the things of God, we should articulate our words by lining them up with the word of God. You know, everything that you belong to, you don't learn how to articulate the words concerning it. If you're talking about a job, you know, talking about it with such power, and you're talking about it that you know it, and you're walking with the confidence that you know what you're talking about. Well, we have to get into it and learn to articulate our faith as much or even more. You know, they say, you know, we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, the word, the Bible in 2 Timothy 2 and 15 say, study to show thyself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. And it's amazing that they use the word workman in that verse, because here we see that a workman is someone that's skilled. A workman is someone that has taken time and mastered what they have to do. A workman is someone that has put his best foot forward and have confidence and assurance in knowing that he can do what is set before him. And that word workman is in that scripture. When they say, as a workman, need not be ashamed. We have to learn to articulate the word of God. We have so many people who won't share not a word of God with anyone else because they feel they don't have enough in them to share. Well, I want to let you know, some people can say God loves you and so do I. God is good, God, all the time. You can't speak about what you don't know, but you can speak and articulate what you do know. You see, Jesus said we should speak to the mountain or the problem. Most people speak to God about their problems, but few follow Jesus' instructions and speak directly to the mountain. You know, God has put certain things under our authority, and we must learn how to exercise them. You know, we walk around every day getting beaten, driven by Satan, beaten and driven by the world, being beaten and driven by people, and all of this because we don't exercise what we have. We don't understand our authority. We haven't learned how to use it. God has given us the authority to say, as in Isaiah 54 and 17, you know, it says, no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment shall be condemned. You see, you know, I know everybody quote that. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. But do you believe it? When a problem or a mountain arises in your life, do you speak that scripture? Do you believe that scripture? Do you believe it? God said he will vindicate us in everything when we ask in faith. Now, God's vindication don't always come out like you want it. It may not come when you want it. But you are vindicated and God is working it out in your behalf. You see, because Romans 8 and 28 say, we know that all things work together for them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to his purpose. You know, if you love the Lord, you got to believe that all things are going to truly work together for your good. Do you believe the scripture? Do you believe what God is telling us? God took time to inspire men to write the Holy Bible. God knows the Bible. He wrote it for you. It's your daily instruction for daily living. It's your weapon. It's your armor. It's all that you need to live a righteous life. God knew when he put us in this world, he knew in 2003 that all men was going to be doing what seemed right in their own eyes, that there would be greed and injustice and there wouldn't be no pity for the people because everyone would be out for themselves. He knew that. So he gave us everything we need in the Bible to work and operate even here. Because the scripture tells us we're going to be in this world, but we do not have to be of this world. We have to be peculiar people set aside and set apart. But we have to use the weapons that God has given us to have joy in our lives. You see, the scripture said, and we know all things. You know, it say, and we know. It's saying we know. And if you don't know, you should know. And you do you really know? Because if you don't know, then speak to your mountain in faith. If you do know that all things is going to work together for your good, then speak to your mountain in faith. And once you speak to that mountain in faith, it's time for you to set back and relax. Trust God, and then you can do as Psalm 34 and 8 says. Psalm 34 and 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, that's sweet. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. They say he will be your refuge. You know, we have to know to be able to show. We can't do the things of God if we don't know the things of God. You see, the Bible teaches in Hosea 4 and 6 that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. You know, you might say, I don't reject knowledge, but if you're not seeking it, you're rejecting it. If you're not being a part of it, then you're not a part of it. He said, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. It is so important to study the word of God so that the knowledge will be your guide. You can do it if you know it, but you can't do it if you don't know it. If you seek the knowledge of God, which is found in the word of God, and ask for wisdom from the Holy Ghost, he will instruct you on how to put the knowledge into action. But I want to let you know tonight, knowledge alone is not enough. We need wisdom, which only comes from God, to use the knowledge correctly. You see, wisdom gives us the ability to take the knowledge and use it correctly. And it can only come from God. And God say, anyone who wants wisdom, let him ask. Jesus is telling us here to speak to the mountain. Be thou removed and cast in the sea. We got to stop speaking to God about how big our problems are, but speak to the problem about how big God is. You know, also in that scripture it says that for this to work, we can't doubt. And the scripture says we shall not doubt in our heart. I want you to know that you can't receive anything from God when you doubt. Doubting has no place with God and with faith. You see, James 1:5-8 said, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give to all men liberally. God said, I'm going to give it to you liberally, and abide it not, and it shall be given him. And the 6th verse said, but let him ask in faith, not wavering, which means doubting. For he that waver is like a wave in the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And the 7th verse said, for let not man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And then it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see, here we see that doubting and faith does not go together. If your faith is sure, then you will not doubt. The scripture also states that you must believe in your heart that so whatever you ask, you shall receive. We have to always remember that God is in control. God will act on what you speak, and he will deliver according to the way that it lines up with his will. Okay, what am I saying? God is in control. God knows all things. God deliver unto you everything that you possibly have had, will have, or have right now. So what I'm saying, God is in control. You could ask God for many things, but because he has a master plan that was before the foundation of earth and he have you in it, he know what he wants to accomplish to get his glory. Because it's all about giving God glory, and God is going to get his glory in and through of us one way or another. So when we ask, it have to line up with the word of God. If we receive this instruction that is in that verse and begin to speak words in faith that lines up with God's word, then we can have the positive result that follows. But if we refuse this lesson and continue to speak words of doubt, we will eventually believe them and have a negative thing and have the negative things that these doubting words produce. You see, doubt is an experience common to all people. So even though, you know, you real holy and you have much faith, doubt will come up every now and then. And it's not so much that doubt come up, but it's what you do with the doubt when it come. You see, we human, we have flesh on our body, and fleshly things is going to happen with our body. So we're not exempt. So we will have doubt sometime. But it's not so much that doubt came, it's what you do with it once it come. Hallelujah. Even those with faith in God struggle with doubt on occasions. And as the man in Mark, the 9th chapter said, I do believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief. You know, even the people of God have doubt and unbelief at some time. That's going to happen. But it's not so much when it happens, it's what you do with it once it comes. Some people are hindered greatly by doubt. Some see it as a way of life. Everything, every situation, everybody, everything that come their way, they first put the doubt on it. It become a way of life to them. Others see it as an obstacle to overcome. You know, the things that we have in our life that's not working for us, we got to spot it to know that we got it. And then we got to do something to work on it. That's how we grow and mature in the things of God and be the man and woman of God that God has designed us to be. Doubt, you see, doubt in itself is not a bad thing when it's used correctly. You see, a working definition of doubt is a lack of confidence to consider the unlikely. There are some things we're supposed to doubt. You see, a false teacher should be doubted, and Adam and Eve should have never doubted God. Only faith-filled words can move mountains. When you act in faith, you can only believe. Act in faith and believe. Because Hebrew 1 and 11 say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. First of all, if you can see it, you don't need faith. And because you can't see it, that's why you need faith. But let faith have her perfect work. Let faith do what faith does. You're not the producer of faith. You can't give faith. Our faith is directed in the object of Jesus Christ, not of man and hopefully not of self. You see, when we have faith, we have to place it in someone or something. As believers, we must place our faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior. You see, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So we must put our faith in him and him alone. And Jesus does not need no help for the work his faith. Don't have faith and say, oh, I'm going to help it alone. God doesn't need your help to work faith. The born-again spirit of man is not the part that doubts. Doubt comes from the mind. When speaking to our mountain, we must resist the devil because immediately he starts planting doubts in your mind. And I'm going to tell you a little thing about Satan. You see, once you let a little doubt in, he go to work because his job is to escalate it and to make it bigger and make it bigger and make it bigger to make you more confused and to hold you back to receive the things of God. Because he don't want you with it. You see, don't let his thoughts of doubt get free rein in your head. Then he's going to set up shop. And now his perceptions, if you're not careful, is becoming your reality. Satan has planted so many worldly perceptions in our head. And they have been there so long until we no longer wonder what questions. We no longer wonder or question their motives. That's how so many people compromise with their faith. That's how so many churches are so watered down. Because you see, he has put so much perception of the world, the worldly perceptions in our mind, and we entertain them, and we don't say like James 4 and 7, resist the devil and he has to flee. You see, so Satan set up shop in your head. And after so long, you forgot where the thought came from. And you start compromising and minimizing, come on now, the word of God. And they have been so long, so you don't even wonder or question their motives. And then you see, as the Bible says, so is a man thinketh, so is he. Anytime we allow human reason to overshadow our faith in God, sinful doubt is the result. No matter how logical our reasoning may seem, come on now, I don't know about you, but people have told me some things that sound pretty crazy to me, But to them, it seemed logical. It seems to make sense. So no matter how logical our reasoning may seem, God had made foolish the wisdom of the world. Come on now. The wisdom of the world is foolishness. It can't line up. It can't take place. It can't even go or get up against the word of God. It can't in and of itself. We allow it to. We bring it there. We accept it. We let it become our reality. And we justify. And then we minimize. And then we stop glorifying God. You see, God has made foolishness the wisdom of the world, and God's seemingly foolish plans are far wiser than man. You know, because some people, some of the things of God, they think is foolish. It doesn't make sense. But even the foolishness of God is wiser than man. Don't get it twisted. You can't compare. You cannot stand up against. You can't be in no competition with God. You'll lose every time. I don't care how smart you think you are. If God said it, then that's it. Don't take and add anything to the scripture. Don't take and remove anything from the scripture to make it fit into what you want to do or say. Faith is trusting God even when his plan goes against your human reasoning or experience. You see, the remedy of doubt is faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want you to know, when you speak to someone, you speak the word of God, you hear yourself. When you take time and share the word of God with someone, you hear yourself. And in hearing yourself, you are increasing your faith because you said it and you heard it and you might have wasn't even thinking about it the way you put it out there and you said, wow, and, you know, you're increasing, you're encouraging yourself, but yet people don't want it. You know, the greatest commission that God has established for us here on earth to do is to go ye therefore, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our job. But you know, they say faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And how could they hear unless there was a preacher? And how can he preach unless he was sent? But I'm telling you, when you speak, you hear yourself talk. God gave us the Bible as a testimony of his works in the past, so we will have a reason to trust him in the present. Come on now. Have you got enough word in your life to totally trust God? Have you got enough word from the word of God to understand God's will that you can lay down before him and trust him? You see, see, when we trust God, it is then when you will receive the fruit of Spirit working and producing in your life. You know, you're going to have joy. You're going to have patience. You're going to be long-suffering with one another. You're going to have the faith that can move the mountains. You're going to have the fruit of the Spirit operating in and through your lives. But you got to trust him. You know, and the most famous doubter in the Bible was Thomas, who declared that he would not believe that the Lord resurrected unless he could see and touch him. You know, a lot of people say doubting Thomas. They ain't make that up. They got it from the word of God because Thomas doubted that Jesus was the resurrected Christ when they told him that he had resurrected. You see, and Jesus showed himself to him and he said, well, put your finger through the hole in my hand. And you see, once he saw, He believed. But you see, if you can see it, you don't need to have faith to believe it or even to achieve it. If you could see it, understand that we don't need to have faith in what we could see. We don't have to have faith in what we know is true. We have faith. It's the substance of things hoped for. You know, our ultimate hope is in our salvation through Jesus Christ. But the things that we hope for, the mountains and trials and tribulations being removed, that hope that way as well, you know, that's what we, you know, hoping for. We have confidence even in the things we cannot see. Why would we have confidence? Because God has proven himself faithful, true, and most of all, able. You can count on God. And look how wonderful it is. God never changed. You don't have to get up in the morning like you have to do with some people. You know, like maybe when you go on a job and you say the rules and the regulations going to change today. You know, you don't have to wonder why you're sleeping in the middle of the night if God's going to change the rule. You know, some people say as soon as we learn the game, the rules change. Hallelujah. You never had to, and you never will have to worry about that with God, because God said, I'm the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. I cannot change. I will not change. I am the great I am, and I am great. Hallelujah. And when you read the word of God, you could trust it. Because God said he can't lie. And if he allowed it to go in the word of God, you best take it as true. And you could believe it. I guarantee it. So as I close tonight, you know, I'm not telling you not to pray. Just speak to the mountain. Because God said, in all things through prayer and supplication, make our requests be known unto him. It is our duty to pray, because that's when we have our intimacy with God and we tell him all about our things. You know, if you're going to tell it to God about your mountains, tell it to him and then go speak to the mountain. Or speak to the mountain and tell God how you spoke to the mountain. So I'm not telling you not to pray. But when you pray, please let God have his way, because he will fix it for you. And then when you pray and when you speak to them mountains, you have to remember that God has a master plan. And you know, God allows some things in our lives for his glory. God allows us sometime to go through things for our maturity. God allows certain things because he can do that. You see, because nothing happened in this world, remember this, unless God orchestrate it or allow it. And if he orchestrated, you should say, thank you, Jesus. And if he allowed, you should say, thank you, Jesus. Because you see, working with God is all good. It's just all good. And then some. So you can't lose with God no matter what. But remember that and wait patiently for God. And don't doubt. And I'm going to tell you this. And we're going to close. You have to stop speaking to God about how big all of your problems are. But start speaking to the problem about how big your God is. And that's the lesson for tonight. Whew. And as always, if anyone would like to make a comment or say a prayer, I mean, you're welcome. We have 10 minutes left. And that was my time, and this is your time. And you can use it any kind of way you want. If God is speaking to your heart to share something with his people, you can. You know, so many things is going on in the world today. Till it's almost, you know, if I didn't know God and for myself and Jesus, my Savior, and that my eternal life was secured because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, that his blood sustained and redeemed me. You know, when I would be in this world, I would be walking around, you know, shaking in my boots. I often wonder how people who don't know God and never accepted Jesus as their Savior, I often wonder how do they just make it through the day. But I guess the things that we know and care about, they're not thinking about it. The Bible teaches us that man will just, every man will do what seems right in their own eyes. And that's not happening. If that's not happening today, I don't know what it is. Greed and sexual perversion and just to name a few is on every side. And we have to be on our knees, you know. And the Bible spoke about when the disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? And God gave a model prayer. Because, you know, we do not know what to pray for. You know, some little things you could say, do you ever pray for the president? Do you pray for your city? Do you pray for our boys being killed on the street? You know, we always looking for an answer from somewhere else, and sometimes we have to find an answer for ourselves, and the first place to look is to God, and we you know, we should pray. You know, our children, our little children are being killed on the street. Do we go, you know, before the throne of grace on a daily basis and ask God to protect our babies, you know? What do we pray for? You know, do we just pray for material things? Do we just pray for our loved ones? You know, what do we pray for? Do we pray for God to work in and through us and circumcise our heart so that we can be used even more by him and for him? You know? Are you being an example for some child? Do you reach out? You know, they say that our generation, these generation is X generation, and we have to ask ourselves. Now, I'm not just talking to y'all. I'm talking about me as well. We have to ask ourselves, what can we do or what have we done lately? You know, you can't save the world. You can't save a city. You might, you know, you can't save a like, in New Orleans, we have wards. You might can't save a ward, but you might can encourage one child and encourage them enough to want to do what is right in the sight of God. You know, I don't know what God is telling you, because you see, what God has for you is for you. If anybody would like to comment, we still have a little time on the radio. Please press the one button on your phone, and I will let you come in. You know, Satan is having field day, and Christians are compromising their faith daily. You know, we hear certain things and they say it enough. You know, President Bush, I think my sister Jeanette told me, said the motto was, his motto was, if you continue to say it enough, then the people begin to believe it. We know that's how it is with the media. You know, everything they say is not true. And if some people believe if it came on the news or it came on the internet, then it is real and true, which it is not. But we have to watch, as the scripture told us tonight, to speak to the mountains. There's no such thing as idle words. We have to watch how we talk to one another. We have to watch how we talk to our children. You know, the children today, they're being cursed out and call bad names and tell them they're nothing and you know, on a daily basis when they wake up in the arms of their mother because they think it's all right. And yet you wonder how they get big, get a gun, and then they kill one another. We have a responsibility, y'all. We have a responsibility. And God is waiting for us to take our rightful place, to be a light in a dark world. And for those who don't know it, this world is going to get worse before it get better. Things always escalate. Right now, we can look at the younger generation and say this the worst that it ever was. But I can remember, you know, my mother died when I was 11 years old. And I can remember my mama telling me that, you know, this world is about to end because, you know, people are lovers of themselves and the fathers against sons and sons against fathers and daughters against mothers. I could hear her saying that, which came from the scripture. And she said that then because it was happening then. It's even more now. It's really the same thing with a different twist. And my grandson is 9 years old, and I guarantee you, when he get to be a man, he's going to think it's the worst, which they think it's worse right now. That's how we have to look at the world. It's just getting escalated. Things escalate. And back then when my mother was saying that, it was bad. But, of course, it was not like this. But you see, that's just the way of, and we have to get in our rightful place, and we have to become what God wants us to become, and we have to do the things that God expects of us to do. And right now, it's 9:28. If someone would like to do a closing prayer, I pray that you press the one button on your phone, and I'll let you take us out with prayer. If not, I'm going to go ahead and do a prayer, and that would be it for tonight. No one pressed, so we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, you are everything that we ever need. And we are everything that we are because of you. So because of this, dear God, we have to take time to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for the word that went forth tonight. Thank you, dear God, for everyone that called in and listened. I pray that your word will not return void. And we would use the word of God that we heard and not just be hearers, but become doers. Heavenly Father, we realize that your word is true. Tonight we saw that you are able and that you are faithful and that you have allowed us to see what you have done in the past so that we can realize and recognize that you could do it now. We know that, dear God, that there's nothing too hard for God to do. You're a mighty good God, dear God. You're an everlasting Father. You're the beginning. You're the end. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the author and the finish of our faith. You're a wheel in the middle of a wheel. You're a bright and morning star. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're all in all. You can't lie and you never change. Lord, we could depend on you. But we have to ask in faith and not doubt. And you say that you will vindicate us, that you will be our refuge, that you will protect us. You allow us to walk in this world, dear God, and not be of this world. You allow in favor from you, yourself, and favor men to be upon our lives. Bless every home that's represented on this phone tonight, dear God, and give them the blessings that they're in need of. And I'm going to be so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. It is now 9:30, and this is the end of the broadcast. I will try to find some music for you guys if you're not going to hang up at this time. And I'll play some music. But again, I say thank to you, thanks to every one of you. And I pray that you come back on next week. And as always, if someone have a special topic that they would like to be spoken on a program, if you press the one button on your phone, you could give me the comments, or you could call a prayer line, and you could give me the information then. Again, I say thank you, and I'll try to see if we could get some music going on. Well, it seemed like I can't get the music in. But next week I'm going to be done worked on that. And I pray that you guys be there and I'm going to have some good music for y'all at that time. But as always, be blessed and have a great night. Thank you. God be with you until we meet again. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Good night.